The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Oh, joining us to discuss the wee trending, Alexandra Ryan, the founder of Goss.ie, Dave Hanratty from the No Encore podcast. And Alexandra, the first thing I want to ask you about is a story from the UK where apparently Priti Patel, the Home Secretary, is considering bringing in a ban on wolf whistling as part of new laws against street harassment. What do you think of this idea?
Yeah, I love this. It got brought up a couple of months ago, the idea of possibly policing catcalling is what they called it at the time. It's obviously a very difficult one to police because you're literally on the street and someone shouts at you. How do you catch that person? How do you report that to the police? It's a difficult one. But I'm all for it because I do think those really small acts of misogyny are what lead to much bigger problems like sexual assault, sexual abuse. Like, in my opinion, I think we need to cut it from the root. So if you knew as a man on the street, if I shout at this woman or I try to approach her or I'm whistling at her and I'm intimidating her, that it would be a crime, I would hope that it would deter people. And I think it's important because I'm sure there's people listening being like, it's just a whistle, calm down. But like, I've been catcalled before and it's really, really intimidating. Like, I could be out going for a run, going for a walk on my own, and suddenly there's two or three guys whistling. Maybe they're walking behind me. Then I'm constantly checking, like, are they behind me? What's happening? And obviously that case in the UK with Sarah Everard has brought all this to the forefront. There's not one girl I've ever met in my entire life that has said to me she hasn't been catcalled or that she hasn't felt intimidated in those moments. So I'm all for it. I think it should be a crime.
Jeff Hanratty, what do you think?
I'd echo what Ali's saying, yeah. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine about this earlier on today, and she was saying that from her point of view, she guesses that the thing that a lot of people don't really grasp about catcalling and wolf whistling is that even if well-intentioned, the impact is always to make the recipient feel small and feel exposed in public. It's a control thing, according to my friend who I was talking to. It's not about how you look. It's about reminding that you're being looked at and assessed, which I think is fair enough. I mean, like, we don't live in, you know, a 1930s European romance movie. Like, it's not, like as well-intentioned as it might be, it is. Like, you're shouting at someone on the street. I mean, that's what you're doing. And normally you do that to get someone's attention. And it does have a fairly kind of horrible association at this point. I mean, it will be tough to police, I would imagine. And I'm sure there are people listening right now who are thinking like, ah, look, it's just a bit of harmless fun. But I think the point's Ali makes.
And trying to criminalise it is political correctness gone mad.
See, this is the thing. I mean, like I wonder how often we're going to get to that phrase even today. Like, it makes me think of like the comedian Stuart Lee. And he talks about, you know, oh, it's just political correctness gone mad, you know. And it's like, yeah, isn't it terrible? Like, being fair to people. And like, that's kind of all it really is when you break it down. I think if your intention, if your reaction to this is one of opposition, well, then there's tougher questions to be asked.
But why does it happen throughout the generations that certain men behave this way? Do we not, as we have had more conversations over the years, going back to schools and when we have mixed sex schools as well, that why does this still happen that men think it's appropriate to sort of wolf whistle as if women are to be assessed as sex objects?
The hope is that it's happening less. I mean, I don't know if we can necessarily quantify that. I mean, like, as generations change, like, language evolves, attitudes evolve and change, and how we treat people is kind of held in different lights, you would hope. I mean, perhaps it's a kind of long-running insecurity thing, like an inferiority complex, but like, I would hope, I've got four young nephews, like, who are like barely into their teens at this stage, if that, and I would like to think that they would never engage in this behaviour, but who knows? I mean, like, you don't know what the future holds for every single individual. It is a problem. It is an ongoing problem, and it wouldn't be discussed in this light if it wasn't.
It's just so prevalent. That's the reality. Like, I haven't seen any change at all. And it's weird because the Me Too movement was so big in the last couple of years, the Harvey Weinstein trial. You would think that logically people would take a step back, men in particular, in this specific situation. I'm not saying men are always the people that do this. You think they would stop and just look at what they do and how their actions can make someone feel. I don't know if you've seen Promising Young Woman, if you've seen that movie.
That's on Netflix, is it?
It's on Now TV, but it's just so good. But there's a scene at the very start that's literally a catcall, and it's just so good how it's done. But sometimes I've said to my friends, you know, when I hear a guy pull up in a car and he's whistling, he's shouting at me, I want to go over and be like, yeah, what do you want to do? Like, what do you actually want? Because I don't think they're expecting the girl to come over, but it can be really scary.
You also mentioned that when you go running, because this is something that I'm very familiar with as well, that women now are very careful about the time that they actually go running. So many more women tend to go running in the morning time, but they actually are fearful of doing so in the evening, when nobody should be fearful of going running at any time.
Like, I live in South Dublin, in like leafy, very, very safe Dublin. I've never gone outside when it's been dark, ever, because it's just too risky. That's the reality. So when, let's say I did do that one night and someone did whistle and it was harmless, how is that meant to make me feel when I'm already worried? So I think the idea behind this, I get what you're talking about, political correctness, et cetera, et cetera. But I just see this as a deterrent. I think if people know this could be a crime or this could be punishable, I think people mightn't bother to actually do it in the first place.
Yeah, and I think in a bit to kind of answer the question that Matt was posing, I mean, like, why do men continue to do this? It's probably because men don't have to really kind of face the other side of this generally.
A listener says wolf whistling is bad and shouldn't be done, but let's not pretend the women don't also catcall. Many times you'll be in public and gangs of girls are commonly doing this.
Same should apply
for
to
sure.
them.
Sure, I think the same should apply for them. I mean, it's not a gender-based law that they're talking about. I just think it's more frequently happening to women. But it's a tough one, because what is going to be deemed as a catcall or a wolf whistle?
Will it be policed?
Like, is one whistle, no, like, I wouldn't say one whistle is detrimental to someone's health, but a group of men shouting at a woman or someone pulling up in a car, get your boobs out or whatever, things like that, I would think that's not okay, but very hard to police.
Now, let's move on. It's not the Olympic story. It's actually some European championships this week, but the story has gone viral globally. Beach handball is a thing, apparently. I thought there was beach volleyball, but there's also beach handball. But Norway's women team fined at the European Championships for not wearing bikini bottoms.
I know, it's wild. Speaking of the same topic of like sexism and gender inequality, oh my God. This is a really good one. I actually like that this has come to the forefront because it's an important thing to discuss. I think basically the Handball Federation are claiming that bikini bottoms are like easier to wear to play the sport. I don't know how true that is. Women are required to wear the bikini bottoms, but men are allowed to wear shorts as long as they're not too baggy. So these girls wore shorts that I don't think were too baggy, and they were basically told they can't do that and they were fined. So it does seem like they maybe did this on purpose to get this into the news, which I love. I think it's a really important topic. How are we still in 2021 telling women what to wear? Like, honestly, just even listening to the story in general is just wild to me. I know there's been a lot of talk about some of the Miss World pageants and stuff like that, or Victoria's Secret have massively changed how they do their runway shows now. I feel like we're at the age now where we should be stepping back and letting people wear what they want. Like, it's just wild.
The idea of a sporting body telling women that they have to wear more bikini bottoms?
I think the interesting thing about this as well is that, like, a spokesperson for the International Handball Federation, Jessica Rockstrow, said that she didn't know the reason for the rules and were, yeah, quote, looking into this internally, but essentially it'll be a post-Olympics thing because we're going to focus on that in the meantime. Ali's right when she says that this is a good time to protest, because it was a form of protest as the Olympics begin. The whole world are going to see this. Another kind of piece of information that stood out to me was the fact that the Norwegian handball team have actually been lobbying for this since 2006. This was the first time that they made a complaint in this regard and asked for change. That's 15 years ago. Conversations change, like what we're talking about there in the first story, like everything evolves, like societal attitudes change. But the fact that this isn't even happening from a bureaucracy point of view would suggest that people aren't taking it seriously enough. And ultimately, if an athlete wants to be treated like an athlete in a certain way and not looked on in a different light, they should be listened to, especially when the Olympic Games are on.
Well, in the Olympics, the athletes are going to have to follow very specific rules, aren't they, in relation to how they behave, what gestures they make, political statements that they make. But again, is that something that actually, if we want to concentrate on sport, might be actually a good idea?
I think this goes back to, we were talking recently on this very show about during the Euros when German officials wanted to light up one of the stadiums in the rainbow flag to celebrate Pride, and UEFA deemed that to be a political gesture. And one of the statements that was made at the time was politics and sport have no place together, which is demonstrably very quickly disproven and not true in the slightest. I mean, if you look at a footballer like Marcus Rashford and all he's done in the last 12 months alone to help children in the UK, I mean, is that a political statement or is he doing the right thing with his platform? Protesting in sports, particularly the Olympics, goes back many, many years and is responsible for some of the most iconic images and important social movements of its time. And to rule that out just suggests to me that there are people at the top who are afraid of this, and they shouldn't be. It's very important for athletes to use their voice in whatever way they deem fit, particularly when it's railing against societal injustice.
It seems, Ali, you're big into social media, that social media posts are going to be allowed, maybe monitored by the various countries' Olympic committees, excuse me, but there is seem to be a realisation that there can't be an imposition on free speech outside of medal ceremonies and the rest of it.
Yeah, this is, honestly, it's confusing to me because I'm not really into sports or the Olympics. So I was looking up this. I was like, why is there so many rules? And like you said, there's only so much they're going to be able to control on their own channels. But I totally agree. Like, I think at the end of the day, this is like one of the biggest world platforms in, like, of all time, this is the time to do those things. And even talking about Marcus Rashford, like, I know more about football now because of him, because of something amazing he did with his platform. I don't see why it's such a big problem if someone wants to use this moment, like the Norwegian team did, to, like, make a statement. I personally, it doesn't bother me. I'm not sure why it's becoming so strict.
Listener says, come on, Matt, there are more important topics. A wolf whistle is a compliment and some women like it. Says who? The men who do the whistles. And another one says, wolf whistling is so prevalent, that's fake news. Never heard it in the middle of Dublin for the last 30 years. Looking, yeah, whistling, no, or catcalling, no. Stop fake news. You've had your experiences of it, haven't
like
you?
Oh, like once a week minimum. So if I'm fake news, then hashtag fake news.
A story last year that got a lot of attention was a wildfire started by a gender reveal party in California. Remind us what happened, please, Alexandra, and now the consequences of it.
This is such a crazy story. And I was just saying off air, like, so many gender reveal parties have ended up in absolute catastrophe. So I think we all need to calm down with them. But basically, it caused a huge blaze. They destroyed 5 homes. Close to 23,000 acres were destroyed. 15 buildings were destroyed. And most importantly, it claimed the life of a firefighter. So, like, this isn't even a funny story. It's like, this has serious consequences. It's basically, they've both been indicted now for 30 crimes. And I'd say even last year, people never thought that they were going to actually be arrested or actually face charges. But at the end of the day, they acted recklessly. And I've heard so many of these stories before, like lanterns that, you know, go up in the air and they start fires. As we can see with the world and climate change and everything happening at the moment, forest fires are literally killing animals, killing people, like destroying buildings. It's just the craziest thing. Like, I feel sorry for them as a couple. I'm sure they never in a million years thought that they were going to cause so much damage, and someone died.
But hold on, there is one other thing, leaving aside the environmental stuff at the moment. Who needs a gender reveal party?
I love them.
Why?
I'm all about them. I love them. But you can do it where you pop a balloon and blue confetti comes out, or pink, or you can cut a cake and inside the cake the frosting is either blue or pink. You don't need to set fire to an object and let it go into the sky.
Yeah, keep it low key and try not to end up with an involuntary manslaughter charge and, you know, burn down the entire surrounding valley. The gender reveal thing is, I think, an interesting kind of modern symptom of, you know, whatever generation we live in. I consider myself a very tolerant person. There's very few stories in today's rundown where I'm like taking the opposite slant or whatever. I mean, contrarian about it. I've never understood the gender reveal thing. Maybe you can like help me out here and explain why it became such a phenomenon. Because
it is definitely the Instagram generation, right? Is that you're revealing it to the world. But I have to say, during COVID in the last year, gender reveal parties have actually been kind of cute because a lot of people couldn't have parties. So instead of ringing your mom being like, it's a boy, instead they did cute
little
videos.
Whatever happened to waiting until the child is born?
Oh, no, I would definitely want to know.
That's very old school though, man.
I don't know.
Somewhere in the middle, I would say. I mean, there's a certain gaucheness to this, but I don't know. I think knowing the gender advance is all right, but it's the way it's done though. It's not even borderline tacky. It's at this stage apparently incredibly dangerous.
Well, rule number one: no fireworks. Don't set anything on fire. Don't put lanterns in the air. Like, can we just all agree that that's the number one thing not to do?
Well, of course, talking about fires, there's a story as well about New York air quality deteriorating among the worst in the world because of wildfires on the other side of the United States.
That is the knock-on effect, yeah. So on Wednesday morning, there was a report on this. So the air quality index surged to 157 in Manhattan. And for context, 100 is where you don't want to be. 100 is where it gets bad. So there's been experts and officials commenting on this, saying that this is unusual. Like, you know, like anytime an expert uses the word unusual about climate emergency and climate change is when you kind of start to worry. We saw a couple of weeks ago, like, there was a video doing the rounds of the ocean itself on fire, which we're like, that's not supposed to happen. Even the heat wave that we're currently enjoying, you know, I hate to be that guy, but cause for concern.
The flooding in China this week, where they got, I think, in an hour, about a year's worth of rainfall in one part of China.
Yeah, it's all pointing to a pretty bleak future, if I'm brutally honest about it. Not that I'm an expert, but everything we're seeing right now is troubling. And it's that thing of, like, we're just wondering, are we learning from our mistakes? I mean, we're seeing billionaires shoot themselves into space at the moment, and it's kind of like, okay, well, is that really the best use of your time and money?
Or maybe we all need to go to space and get out of here.
Well, that's what Jeff Bezos believes. Now, Dave, I'm told that you're going to very tastefully talk to us about Jeff Bezos's rocket.
That's who I am. That's why you brought me in this week. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, went to space this week for 11 whole minutes. And a lot of people, there's been consternation about him doing it at all, but consternation about the specifics of the rocket that was involved in terms of its visual methodology, shall we say. I think the best word I could use for it at 10 to 5 on a Friday would be phallic, would maybe is a way of describing it. Not subtle, I would suggest, in terms of symbolism. And that's very much kind of what did the rounds from people. They were kind of,
it was a rocket that had to be designed to get him into space and back.
And apparently
that was all it was to it.
Can
surely.
I just say, I did not,
it wasn't symbolic for anything, was it?
Can I just say, I did not spot this design malfunction that everyone has noticed what the rocket looks like.
It wasn't a malfunction
like.
Because it got him into space.
But
no, that
I
wasn't
feel
a
like I feel like Jeff gets a bad time, and immediately people's first thought is he definitely designed it to look
Jeff
that way.
Should get a bad time.
No.
Quite
do you know
frankly.
What I liked about
Sorry,
this?
He comes down and he gives his press conference in which he thanks all of the Amazon employees for providing him with the wealth to do this. Hooray for that. At $15 an hour if they're lucky. Yeah, no wonder he's plenty of profits to be spending on this.
And no bathroom breaks and general ill treatment reports, like years and years of them. And he's sitting there in his cowboy hat like something out of the end of Doctor Strangelove as well, which is just like really, again,
symbolism.
I did
like though you were able to bet on, well not bet but like what's the word, put money on it basically to win a ticket to go up. I don't know if you saw that. So someone's after spending like 26 million they can go on his rock and go up now, and all of that's going to a charity. So I think he's trying. I think anyone that well off, that incredibly, like those entrepreneurs, it's always bad stories.
We shouldn't have billionaires for a start, let alone this one. I think everything he stands for is repugnant. And it's no surprise that he's doing this kind of thing. It's no surprise that the rocket itself resembles what it does, because right now he's caught in a measuring contest of his own with the likes of Elon Musk and Richard Branson and others. And again, it's like if those guys pool their resources, and maybe I'm being naive, but if they pool their resources and turned it to like world hunger, climate emergency, etc., as opposed to who can get to space first and the best, I think we might have maybe less of air quality problems in New York and beyond. Maybe
there's a bit of rocket waving involved in it as well, isn't there?
Yeah. See, like, yeah. Even, like we did it. We managed to stay within the confines of the watershed.
Everyone's googling the image right
we got it
now.
Done.
Okay, but when you talk about billionaires as well, it's been Rupert Murdoch, one well-known billionaire. Was apparently one of the very first people in the world to get vaccinated, but his Fox News network has been constantly denigrating vaccination until there's been a sudden switch this last week or so.
Which is kind of baffling. I mean, like, why the about turn now? I mean, obviously, like, President Biden in the States has been kind of at the forefront of vaccination. Just last week, he had Olivia Rodrigo in to try and, like, get the youth vote for the vaccines, which is a pretty shrewd move. But yeah, there's reports this week, particularly out of places like Alabama, where essentially it's like 33% of people who've been offered the vaccine took it up. So there's a huge amount of people who are turning it down. And then you get quotes of, like, the Surgeon General of a hospital in Alabama saying that they have patients who are going onto ventilators, and at that moment they're begging for a vaccine, and the doctor has no choice but to say, I'm sorry, it's too late, which is incredibly stark and horrible.
Yeah, Alexander, there's been some very striking stuff on social media this week of those reports of doctors saying that suddenly, belatedly, people who have said, well, I'm not going to be infected by some vaccine, I'm not going to have Bill Gates put a chip in me, suddenly realising, ooh.
And it's too late. And that's the thing. I think it's so important. Like, I feel like media got such a bad rap at the start of this. Everyone was like, fake news. They're being paid by Pfizer. I got my vaccine, my first one, in April because I'm a type 1 diabetic. So I was like a little bit earlier. People were like, right, how much are they paying you? How much did you get? Like, I wish I got paid by AstraZeneca to get my vaccine. I didn't. But it's terrifying really now to see people begging for their lives, basically. I wish I got the vaccine. And I think that's why it's so important that media channels are reporting the truth. And I think in Ireland as well, it's so important that more people share they're getting the vaccines. Like, I was one of the first people to share it. I got death threats. I got all sorts. But now I'm starting to see more.
First, sharing the information that you'd received a vaccine.
Yes. So first people asked, how did I skip the queue? I must have faked my way in. And then the second part of it was, I hope you die. You're going to get blood clots. You're going to be infertile for the rest of your life. I got hundreds of messages. It was so crazy. And then people started messaging me that were around my age, like late 20s, early 30s. And they were like, I've got mine, but I don't want to share it. I'm terrified of a backlash. And then that really worried me. I was like, no, like, you need to say that you got it and you're okay. Because I'm sure you're seeing it too. When you log on to YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, it's all these stories about this girl got a vaccine and then she died. And it's not even a real news story. So I think it's so important people are just being honest and they're getting out there and seeing the vaccines now happening in pharmacies. I've seen so many young people get it and they're so relieved and they're on board, and I just think that needs to be shouted from the rooftops.
Yeah, it's normalization. I'm halfway there to mine, and it's kind of like, you know, it has become a social media trend to like post up the first half of your card or whatever, which I'm sure in itself probably makes people roll their eyes, but I think it's just people kind of like seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. Fair enough, if you're anti-vax, that's up to you. I'm not, and ultimately I don't know why people who are anti-vax go on these crusades. And as Ali says, there's a lot of kind of stark looking headlines that actually don't have the meat within them. They don't have the data to back it up, and there's a lot of scaremongering going on. It is weird seeing Fox News get involved, and there's kind of personalities at the top of that table who are coming out against this. They're infighting amongst themselves, and may they burn to the ground, I say.
I say every one of them is vaccinated, I'd imagine. Dave Hanratty and Alexander Ryan, thank you both very much for being with us here on The Week Trending.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.